Okay, our next question is from Gordon Kennedy from South Belfast. Gordon, where are you? Okay, and your question is about teacher training.
The question is, why is teacher training not integrated into the universities when all other third-level education is integrated and when finance is so tight?
Chris, do you want to do this one from the start?
Okay. Well, there's a live review of teacher training ongoing, and I think that will be a useful piece of work in relation to giving a substantive answer to that type of question. But our teacher training colleges do some amazing work. I've visited all of them, and at times they do very good collaborative work, working together as well. And I believe, not the prejudice, the outcome of that review, that we can have much more integrated system of teacher training as well.
Yeah, Tony, do you want to?
We were involved in Queen's in discussions a couple of years ago, for a couple of years, with Stenwillis University College around the possibility of Stenwillis fully merging into Queen's and Queen's relocating all of our education activities onto the Stenwillis site. I think if you look at the... clearly we're interested in that whole approach. If you look at the best performing education systems in the world, they are characterised by four particular approaches that you can see built within them. First of all, they have a human capital strategy based around teaching, because teachers are the key to school improvement. They're the single most important factor to school improvement. They have an approach around structures, which helps to facilitate school improvement. They have an approach of accountability to ensure that schools and teachers and everyone else are held to account for what they're doing. And they also provide evidence-based advice to teachers on classroom practice and what works best within classroom practice. The human capital dimension around teachers. Since teachers are the single most important factor in trying to secure school improvement, then the best performing countries in the world go out of their way to ensure that the best possible, the most talented young people go into teacher training, to train as their teachers. They also go out of their way to make sure that they only train as many teachers as they need, because if you train far too many, then they're not all going to get jobs, and so you're not going to get the best coming into the teacher training in the first place. They also ensure that once you train them, you encourage them to work collaboratively with their peers. When they get into schools, to work collaboratively with other teachers in their schools and collaboratively with teachers in other schools, and provide a strong CPD system to ensure that they're engaged in continuous improvement, continuous learning right throughout their careers. All the best international evidence suggests that the best way to do this in Northern Ireland is to put all teacher training into the universities, and that's what we should do.
Donald, do you want to have a go?
I think Tony makes a number of very important points there. We will improve the quality of education as we keep improving the quality of our teachers coming out. But the other side of that argument is that we also have to look to see which systems are actually producing the highest quality of educational outcomes. In Northern Ireland, in the schools, we know which sector is producing the best educational outcomes and which is producing the lowest. Within our third level initial teacher training colleges, we know that St Mary's is in a league of its own in terms of student satisfaction, UK leagues of achievement. So I think we have to find ways of ensuring that we can share the best practice that we have in Northern Ireland, rather than assuming just that some structural approach is going to deliver the golden grail at the end. For a Northern Ireland solution, what would seem to me to be a very sensible way forward would be to concentrate all initial teacher training in Stranmillis and St Mary's, highly integrating both those colleges with Queen's University. That seems to, and having those two colleges working intimately together. I think the outcome we're looking for in schools and in teacher training has to be the quality that we achieve. And we've got to look at what is producing the highest quality and build on that, rather than just assuming some tabula rasa with a nice wee system on it is going to deliver. I know Tony knows much, much, much more than the rest of us about international comparisons, but I think there's bound to be some ability to find in Belfast a way to bring together the best of what we have and ensure that we deliver the highest quality outcomes for our teachers, so that the next generation of young people can achieve that as well.
Thank you. Laurie?
I want to welcome what Donal has just said, because I think it's wonderful that, in fact, it sounded to me as if he was calling for the integration of St Mary's and Strongmillis, where he maybe didn't quite mean that, but he was certainly saying they must be integrated into Queen's and they must work intimately together. And if you're having that level of working together, why would you need different structures, or why would you need to continue to hold on to different structures? Because this is all about the protection of structures, because keeping a separate Catholic teacher education college means that you actually then have your Catholic teachers for your Catholic schools. And if the best quality teachers are being produced in St Mary's, surely those teachers should be going into the schools that need them most, which, according to Donal, are not the Catholic schools. So we have... We have the situation here, and if we have a question in early years, we'll have it as well. We have children from the age of 3 through to the age of 21 who can go through an education system entirely within their own identity. Now, don't tell me that that can be good for those young people. Don't tell me you might produce the best teachers who are going to produce the best exam results, but if you have a teacher who has gone through a single stream with no challenge to how they think or where they come from or how it shaped them, what sort of challenge can they then give when they go into the classroom to their children? They can't. They replicate what is. And that is the clue as to why it's important to keep a Catholic teacher education college separate, because it serves a separate Catholic education system. That is the reality. I think we need to change that. I think it's got to be more than just, and at the moment there's very little connection between the two teacher training colleges. At the moment, in our integrated schools, it is very unusual for a teacher from St Mary's to go and teach in practice. And I was deeply shocked when I heard that. In one integrated primary school, they had never had a student from St Mary's Training College. Now, is that standard practice? If it is, it's an absolute disgrace. So there are big issues here with regards to teacher education, and I think if we cannot, at least at that level, change the structures, we at least get a little bit of insight as to why the structures throughout the system have continued. Tony mentioned about the slow growth of integrated education, as if in some way that was a reflection on what parents wanted. What it is a reflection on are the immense and intense barriers to getting integrated education. And I'll give you some evidence for that. Because each year there are 300 children turned away from preschool integrated education. And each year there are 500, on average, children turned away from primary school and post-primary integrated education. Now, if cumulatively over the years those children had all had their places in integrated schools and their brothers and sisters and cousins had come, there would have been a completely different percentage and a much greater percentage. And we're only talking about the areas where there is integrated choice. There are many, many areas where there is no integrated choice at all. So I actually thought Alliance was too modest when they said we want 20% of places for integrated education. I want parity of esteem, and I think 30%, a third of places for integrated education would be where we would start, not finish, start, because more than 70% of parents do want their children educated together, and we need to start to responding to that and making it easier for them. And I'm going to just finish to say, at the moment there's a parents group in Mollusca, Newton Abbey, and they want an integrated school. And one of the parents said to me, I can't believe it is so hard to get what should be the option, which is the norm, which everybody has. 30 years on, it is still almost impossible, this school will be a test, to get integrated education in an area. That has got to change, and it needs to start changing, and the teacher education must be part of that change.
Okay, we're slightly pushed for time, so I'm going to take potentially two questions. I think it's how quick we get through them. The first one is from Noel Williams, and it's about ESA. Yeah, and we'll get you a mic here.
Thank you, panel. As a parent whose children have had a diverse education from Somerset, London, Middlesex, Yorkshire, boarding school, and even when I was abroad, I sent my two daughters, who were christened in the Church of Ireland, to a Catholic convent. You can imagine how that went back to the Protestant family in Sunnylands and Carrickfergus. But that very area now is an area of deprivation, and the attainment level is very low. So my question is about the future, and it is, if the education bill doesn't make progress soon, and I emphasise the soon, then how can we ensure that we plan for a sustainable schools system?
Tony, do you want...
Yeah, I mean, I think that was partly the point I was trying to make at the start. I think it looks like ESA is dead. There looks like very little prospect of it coming into play. There's already talk about trying to restore the education and library boards. One of the problems there is that with the new councils, the structures of the areas of the education and library boards will likely be different. So some schools would have to suddenly trip into different types of arrangements. It just sounds horribly complicated. And I understand there's no money to do it anyway, which is a further complication, obviously. But this reflects exactly the point that you're making. There is a huge level of low achievement in our system, the most unequal pattern of outcomes in anywhere in the OECD. And because of all the political manoeuvring and political logjam, and ESA is a particularly good example of that, that issue is not being addressed. So forget about ESA. The politicians aren't going to agree on it. Forget about those sort of... They can talk about those sort of big strategic issues. But right now, you should allocate money as a matter of urgency to try and address some of these issues around low achievement. We know ways of doing it. We know things we can tell teachers to do in classrooms that will help to address some of the specific deficits that young people face. So let's get that information out to teachers. Let's support them to do it right now and start turning some of these things around. If we wait for the big strategic decisions to be made, we'll be waiting forever.
Donald, do you want to?
As Noreen Nudgesmain said, ESA, what's that? I think it's really very tragic that our politicians, after so many years, have for all sorts of intra-party reasons been unable to deliver the structures that would enable us to improve. There's no excuse for it. I mean, Tony's quite right. The setting back of the boards, whether there's one board or five boards, will require new legislation, and they'll end up probably arguing over that as well. But I think our young people deserve much better, because if we're looking to work towards a shared future, it's so unfortunate if those at the top of our society are actually modelling a divided future. And to sort of to blame the rest of society for not doing what the political class together, and I'm not blaming the Lenders Party for that, seem unable to do is most unfortunate. And we do want good people in politics, and the failure of ESA is a tragic letdown of our young people, A, in terms of the structures they deserve, and B, in terms of creating hope that entering public life and public service actually would be able to deliver something for the common good.
Noreen?
Yeah. I can only agree with Donald and Tony, because it's not just that ESA has failed. It's that for 8 years, when on paper we were going to have ESA, the education library boards were dismantled and their services were dismantled. And the whole education system has been incredibly weakened.
Yeah.
And so what we have, as happens all the time here in Northern Ireland, we have politics and the need to maintain votes, or the perceived need, being prioritised over the needs of children and the people who work for children. And it's an absolute disgrace what has happened. And so now the boards have to be reconstructed. All the people, all the skilled people who were let go in order to save money under the new system have gone. And the skills base isn't there. Schools very much feel they're on their own, that there isn't a support system for them out there. And there isn't, to Tony says, we know how to start tackling underachievement and how to make a difference, but we don't have the resources or the infrastructure at the moment to do that. So the collapse of ESA and the long, drawn-out, painful collapse of ESA has been significantly detrimental for the education system.
Chris?
The failure to deliver ESA is obviously one of the single biggest failings of the executive, but and I take on board the criticisms primarily of other political parties, but I must say as well that I don't think it's just political parties. I think there have been other significant vested interests in our community in Northern Ireland that have delayed delivery of a single educational skills authority and that have squabbled over what representation on that single educational skills authority should look like. And I think it's disgraceful that we've played politics with the educational provision for our children in that way. It has had all kinds of negative outcomes in terms of area-based planning. I've seen the results of it in my own constituency and in South Belfast. Rather than area-based planning, I think we've reverted to sectoral-based planning, and that has been a huge negative for our children and young people. We have an education system that I think a lot of people would in Northern Ireland would agree it's not what it would look like if we were starting from scratch and not having that single skill, educational skills authority and that genuine area-based planning to try and start to build a more shared and an integrated system that does tackle some of those underachievement issues as well is an indictment on our politics and on our society. And I agree with Tony that we are where we are and we have to find better area-based ways, better targeted interventions to overcome that fact. And in North and West Belfast, there's an organisational network called the Full Service Community Network, where schools are trying to come together. They are trying to include different interventions in schools from a parental inclusion point of view in learning and education, from a health, from a family health point of view. And there are things that we can do. We have to have our education system much more area-based, much more inclusive of our parents and our health outcomes as well. And it's a shame that we don't have that single educational skills authority to lead that change that we need to see.
Unfortunately, time's beaten us. I've got 10 more questions here, and there's no way we're going to get through them. You'll be here tonight again, as you were last night. But I just want to thank, so apologies for those who haven't got their questions posed, but I'm sure you can engage with the panel afterwards. Just want to take this opportunity to thank the panel for coming along and for making their time available and for engaging with this debate. It's greatly appreciated on a Saturday afternoon to come along. Thank you very much.